Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. I'm an unworthy servant, man who has unclean lips, not of pure heart. I pray that you would speak through me and you will use me. Pray that your word would reach the hearts of many, including mine. In Jesus' name I pray, God. Amen. In full confession, before I speak, I personally don't feel worthy, especially for the topic of loving others and loving neighbors. I can claim to love God, and I can do many of the stuff that many of you might appreciate, trying to live a life with heart that is trying to model after God, reaching out to others, having mindset set on ministry, trying to build my family and model to my family the way that Bible talks about. But I'm convicted with one verse, 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. If someone says, "I love God," and yet he hates his brother or sister, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother and sister, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. I'm continuing from what Brother Jonathan shared. And with full shame, I can confess that my immediate neighbors are my wife and my children. And I can get upset with my wife for silly things, for which I should not. And I discipline my children sometimes not out of love, but out of frustration. And I see myself as, even though I want to love God, I want my family to love God, my own actions speak for themselves that I'm not really loving God when I'm not acting fully out of love towards my wife and children. But even though I'm convicted of this, I can fully speak on one thing, is that I'm confident of God's love for me because I received it and I experienced it. And again, not to say that I'm disqualified, but 5 years of my marriage, God has taught me so many things in loving my wife and my children. So I would speak mostly on God's love towards us and how that outflows out of us to love others and to mainly love God through that. So two topics I want to raise today is, one, loving others and loving God is an outworking of the Holy Spirit that's been given to us when we become believers. And two is to encourage all of us to first be confident of God's love for us, because without that, we cannot love anyone. At the end of the day, it's the Holy Spirit that enables us to love others. If it is not the Holy Spirit that enables us to love others, there's so many self-help gurus, so many self-help books that are teaching how to have a healthy marriage. But yet in America, we see 50% of marriages end up in divorce. And it is only the commitment and the word of God that can really drive us to have a true love, even in our own family, if not towards God or towards others. So, after all, love is fruit of the Spirit. And Jesus said, Book of John, or Gospel of John, chapter 7, verse 37 to 39. Now, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. The one who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." But this he said in reference to the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So we all claim to know God, and all of us are believers here, and we claim to know, or we claim to have received Holy Spirit at one point or another point. I truly understand the confusion of different theologians, different churches. But in some form or the other, we all agree there is Holy Spirit and it is present within us. And if there is Holy Spirit within us, as Jesus said here, it has to overflow out of us. And that overflow comes in the form of truly one thing, loving God and loving others. It can be all nine parts of the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. All these are the outworking of the Holy Spirit flowing out of us. And if this is not present, then there is no fruit of us. Then Holy Spirit is not really working in us. And that is a chance that we all need to take. When love has to go out from us, means love has to be come to us from God. Brother Joseph referred to this verse in the morning, Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. This Holy Spirit is so important that when the apostles were picking deacons to serve food to the widows, this is what the Word of God says. Acts chapter 6, verse 3. Brothers and sisters, select from among you seven men of good reputation, full of spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. I want to focus on these three words or four words: full of the Spirit. Not to teach, not to prophesy, or not to go and heal somebody of sickness. What is this job? This job is to distribute food. And to just to distribute food, now the apostles are saying, select men of good reputation, full of spirit. How much more, as father, I'm raising my children, that I need to be full of spirit, that I need to have the overflow of the spirit coming in form of fruit of the spirit towards my children, as a husband towards my wife, as a brother towards everyone who's sitting here. So it's not enough to know that the Holy Spirit is within us. It is important in all our lives to have the outworking of the Holy Spirit, outflow of the Spirit through us, in a way of showing up in fruit of the Spirit. So today we won't focus on all the fruit of the Spirit, but just the aspect of love. And Ephesians 5:18 says, full verses, do not get drunk with wine, in which there is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Be continually be filled with the Spirit. It is an important aspect that it not just holy, it when we become believers, it's the act of the Holy Spirit. But as we continue our life, the infilling of the Holy Spirit needs to come out, overflow, in form of the fruit of the Spirit. And if we don't have the fruit of the Spirit, and we keep claiming we have the gift of the Spirit, then God has to, and Jesus has to say, I don't know who you are, on the day we face Him. So, outworking of the fruit is very important. And one of the outworking is, we are talking today about loving God and loving others. And why do we love, first of all, God? And again, Brother Joseph referred to this in the morning. 1 John verse 4:19 says, we love because He first loved us. And we all know the famous verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. You know, today we are living in New Testament times, or after Jesus has come, and we all know the mystery has been revealed, that Jesus came and died for us, and we all know that that's the pure form of love, and we can see it from the history, we can see in the Word of God. But how about the Old Testament times? When Israelites questioned God, how has God loved us? God responded to them, in Malachi chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. This is the pronouncement of the word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi. Verse 2, I have loved you, says the Lord. But you say, how have you loved us? Israelites are questioning here, how have you loved us? And sometimes when we are going through hard times, and yesterday Brother Bill talked about being bitter, we get this question of, no, I don't think God really loves us. Even though we say on face, yes, God loves me, in heart of our hearts, we have this question too. I was waiting to get married for 5 years, and I can tell you this struggle I went through in those days. Even though I experienced God's love deeply, I struggled to the fact, how can God love me and not give me a wife? When I did all things right, and I did really struggle. So this is God's answer. Was when Israelites question, how have you loved us? Was Esau not Jacob's brother? Declares the Lord. Yet I have loved Jacob, but I have hated Esau. And I have made his mountains a desolation and given his inheritance to the jackals of the wilderness. Though Edom says we have been beaten down, but we will return and build up the ruins, this is what the Lord of armies says. They may build, but I will tear down. And people will call them the territory of wickedness and the people with whom the Lord is indignant forever. And your eyes will see and you will say, the Lord be exalted beyond the border of Israel. To me, if we apply these exact sentences to our lives today, just because the way we are today, be it having meal three times a day or one time a day, having a roof over our head, just the common things we take it for granted, itself the fact that God has loved us today. So Israelites took it for granted that Esau is a cursed brother, and they didn't really think, just because God loved them, that Esau is in that state. And the fact that we are believers today, the fact that today we understand the love of God and we trusted his forgiveness of sins for ourselves, and that we have an eternal life, continuing eternal life with God, itself is a testament that God loves us. The very fact that most of us have two parents or one parent are people in our lives who love us, and people in our lives whom we can look up to, are people in our lives whom we can even ask help, itself is God loving us. The fact that we have a solid job is all the common things that we take it for granted, but this is, and if we just step outside from ourselves and look at the world, there are many people struggling with these common things that they don't have. And the first thing, the fact that God loves, is that we are believers. He loved us. He died for us. But the second thing, the common things of the world, the common things of our life, are a testament to the fact that God loves us. So, first of all, we need to be confident and be strong in this concept that God really loves us. If we are not confident, then we will never be able to love God back or others. We love him because he first loved us. And if there is any doubt, then we really need to have an experience with the God. And the doubt is the one that is the cause that today we are not in direct fellowship with God. The Eve was deceived because she doubted God's goodness. And Adam was deceived again. What was the question? Did God really love you enough to give you the fruit of that tree? I'm paraphrasing the question, but the doubting of God's goodness is the reason today we are not in direct fellowship with the Lord, or seeing to him face to face. Had it been not the doubt, we would have been better, in much better situation where we would be seeing God face to face. So, and also there are multiple instances in the Bible, some of the great people and prophets actually doubted goodness. And today, even though we did great things for the Lord, and we are confident of God's love and his power and everything, we still can come to a place where we doubt God's goodness. And one such example is, I'm not sure who quoted Elijah, Prophet Elijah, in the Bible. I'm quoting that verse, 1 Kings 19:10. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of armies, for the sons of Israel have abandoned your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And alone I am left, and they have sought to take my life. He just fought with 400 prophets of Baal. He called fire down from heaven to the earth. He proved that God is the real God and your God is nothing. Yet, he doubted God's goodness and he is in a state of self-pity. Often we can be, you know, powerful and be sure of God's power, yet sometimes we doubt God's goodness towards us. And it is valid. It is. I mean, I struggle with this, especially during when I'm looking for a wife, very much. So I want to take two examples of being from the Bible, being confident in God's love, so that once he fills us, once we are confident of his love, we can the outworking of the Spirit can go out to love world and love God. So I want to give an example of my daughter Nissi. A few days ago, I was just sitting in his room, and both my older children are playing. And Nissi got on top of my shoulders, and she's climbing onto my head. And I was telling her, this is going to be dangerous because you can fall down. And she actually fell down. And I said, see, this is. It can be dangerous if you fall down on your head or you hurt yourself. And her response is, Dad, I know you, if it is really dangerous, I know you won't let it happen because you'll catch me. I didn't have that confidence in me that I can protect my daughter, but she had that confidence in me. And coming that from a just turned four-year-old is that was a revelation to me. Do I have that confidence in the Lord? And if you look at the prodigal son, he had that confidence. He wasted his father's property and everything. He has committed all kinds of sins. But yet he didn't forget one thing, that his father loved him. And he came back. He was confident of the fact that his dad loved him. And today, sometimes we can become those prodigal sons claiming to be believers. And we could be worse than the prodigal son, not because we did sins, but we might forget that God is good. We might forget that we can return to God. We can go to the Lord and seek refuge in him. So I want to take two examples. One is woman at the well. It's a long passage, so I'm not going to read. Again, I'm overlapping with what Brother Joseph shared in the morning. So this lady is already Samaritans. So Jews already despise them. And within Samaritans, she's despised because she has four husbands and the one whom she's living with is not her husband. So she's ashamed. She knows what she's doing is not right. So she doesn't want to be seen by others because the moment they see, that she might get comments or she might be looked down. So she goes to the well in the middle of the day, not when it's the cool of the day where other women go. And goes, so her mind is already cursed. I mean, she's thinking she's somebody who's not worthy. She doesn't want to be seen by others. But when she met Jesus, what happened? Gospel of John chapter 4, verse 28 to 30. I'm reading these three verses. So the woman left her water pot and went into the city and said to the people, come, see a man who told me all the things that I have done. This is not the Christ, you see. They left the city and were coming to him. So this is what the response of that lady. At first it could see like it was just an intellectual understanding of this lady that this is Christ. But it is not. If it's just an intellectual understanding that this is Christ, she would have been thankful that Christ met with her and just went back to her house, you know, in the noon of the day. But what she did, her shame was gone. She is deeply touched. She's no more concerned about her lower stature as a Samaritan, as someone who did something wrong. She doesn't care about any more socially orchestrated. The same people who looked down on her, she went and told the same people that come and see who has met my needs, who saw deep within my heart. She lost that shame anymore. And because of that, what happened? I'm reading from verses 39 to 42 of chapter 4. Now from that city, many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. The Samaritans believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. She just had that one encounter with the Lord, that she was filled with love from him. He deeply touched him. And that resulted in Samaritans getting to know the Lord, many of the people who looked down on her. She went to the same people who abused her probably, or who orchestrated her, who didn't want to be seen with her. She went to the same people, and to them she took the message of gospel. He told me all the things that I have done. Verse 40. So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they were asking him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of his word, and they were saying to the women, it is no longer because of what you said that we believed, for we have heard for ourselves. It's no more just you whom he touched. He touched us too. And we don't believe anymore just because of your testimony, but we believe it because we experienced it. And it is a true fact that when you truly touched by Jesus, it's not only that's the overflow of the Spirit that works in your life, that goes to the world, that outworks in loving God and loving others. So this lady who is orchestrated today, I mean, for many years, I probably still, I have a self-pity that I'm not good enough in many years of life. And I think, who will listen to me? But if this lady who has had such social bad status can bring a whole city to Christ, how much more we can do it? How much more we can love others because God has touched us and he filled us our heart with his love. And another story I want to share from the Bible was the thief on the other side of the cross who was crucified. I'm reading from Luke chapter 23, verses 39 to 43. One of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuses at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other responded and rebuking him said, do you not even fear God? Since you are under the same sentence of condemnation, and we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our crimes. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he was saying, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. This man didn't have time to pray sinner's prayer. This man didn't have anyone to tell him gospel. But he was touched by Jesus. And his heart is full of love. His heart is full of fear of God. We don't know the backstory. I don't know the backstory. Word of God is not clear on it. We don't know when he heard about Jesus. But we can see he was touched by Jesus. And he's ready to rebuke the other thief. Don't you fear God? First of all, it's an oxymoron. Because they didn't fear God, they were on that, you know, cross. This man somehow was touched by Jesus on the cross in the same situation that he will be with Jesus. Today you will be in with me in paradise. So if the thief on the cross, who has probably not done anything right in his life, I don't know if he has done, who is receiving the worst sentence in the history at that time, can be touched by Jesus, how much more we can be touched by Jesus. And he is literally speaking gospel to the other thief on the other side of the cross. So today, I want to challenge how can we have a deep encounter with God right now, today? You know, there's so many ways the Holy Spirit can flow out of us, not just love. I can give one example. You know, I've been coming to Brother Bruce's house since 2017, once or twice a year, and last 2 years it's almost every month or once in 2 months. I'm touched by Bruce and Muriel because God touched them. My wife is touched by them. And my children think they are their real grandparents. They don't know my parents or Esther's parents. Whenever we come, we have a deep time of fellowship. And I'm touched by Brother Casey and Sister Joanna. And we know we can go to their house anytime, and they make time for us. Despite having 4 children, having a business at home and homeschooling, despite the health challenges, they make time for us. Not even a single time we felt we are not loved. When we enter that home, we know that we are loved. They make time for us. And I see outworking of Spirit in simple way. I can tell my wife was never... I experienced Brother Bruce and Muriel before my marriage, but only after my marriage, my wife can really experience such love from people. She never saw anybody whom welcomed her just for who she is. And when God touches our lives, that is what happens. And I mean, I know it's already happening in your lives, but this is an example I'm sharing that I and my wife has experienced. So 21st century, and maybe Jesus is coming tomorrow or 10 years from now or 100 years from now or thousands from years from now. I don't know. But today, how can we have deep encounter with God that will make sure that there will be a overflow of the Spirit? Sometimes it can be despair. Morning, I want to share about the hospitality. I told you before that for 5 years I had this deep dissatisfaction with the Lord that He was not giving me a wife, and I was trying hard to get a wife. So my marriage, my wedding was finally fixed on April 18, 2020. And you know what happened before that? March 1st, COVID happened. And I mean, this for 5 years I'm waiting for this wedding. Finally, a woman was fixed. My wedding date was fixed. And COVID happens. My bride is in India. I'm in United States. You need to understand my frustration at this time. And I just moved from California to New York. I'm living in Westchester. Just before pandemic hit, I rented an apartment. I have no clue of my neighbors. I just moved from California to Los Angeles. I'm in this state being excited of going back to India and getting married. And that's not going to happen. I don't even know if it will happen. Because it's not a dating and, you know, it's an arranged marriage. So I don't know if it's going to happen or not. So in my frustration, in my despair, I was going out and walking and praying to the Lord and crying out to Him because I'm sitting at my room alone. I know nobody. And it's very frustrating. When I was coming to the New York, I had this great and mighty plan of coming to Pastor Bruce's house and going with him to prison and part of his ministry and all. But COVID hit, nothing happened. I never went with him at all. So I was walking. The first time I was walking outside my apartment, I met one black guy. I saw this guy and I said, because you're not supposed to talk and you know, the COVID, I don't have mask. And the second time I went, the exact same time he came, and again, this time we said hi. And the third time, again I went and I saw the same person walking. This time I took courage. I don't have anyone to talk to. Let me talk to him. And this is a black guy. And it was evident from the way he looked and he walked. He's a homosexual. So the fourth time I met him, I invited him to my home. I baked a banana bread, and that's the first time I'm trying a recipe. I gave it to him, and he enjoyed it. He left. Again, next time I went, I'm not going at the same time. I'm going at the different time. He's there every time I went, and he's not of the neighborhood too. So the next time I took courage and said, "How about we do a Bible study? I'm a Christian. Are you be interested?" And for 7 months, he came every week to my apartment, doing Bible study with me, evangelistic Bible study. I would open the Bible, I'd cook some simple meal, and he would do it. And through that process, I realized, even in your despair, God can use you. And this man was convicted so much of his sin that he was willing to leave his lifestyle, his bad lifestyle back. And he had all this Black Lives Matter thing fully of him. And he wanted to leave all that. And his commitment was so much so to the Bible study. When I went to India to get married, we were doing Zoom, doing every week Bible study. But finally, the day I decided to ask him to get baptized, because he definitely shown a conviction of Holy Spirit, he wanted to live a lifestyle. Since that day, he never came back to my house for Bible study. I don't know why, how the evil one is working. But I never saw him after. But all I wanted to see was, things can happen even in your desire. If God has deeply touched you, that will overflow. And I learned that in the middle of the COVID. And God blessed me with that there is a purpose that God has given me, just in loving others and loving God, even though I'm full of despair and frustration and, you know, all the negative emotions. So when you are deeply touched by the Lord, there's two things that are going to happen. One, Romans 8:16 clearly tells us, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And when you are a child of God, you will go about your Father's business. And that is loving God and loving neighbors. And one thing, that the internal work that continues to happen when we become children of God is, I'm reading from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. So, starting from verse 3. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility, consider one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, as he already existed in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a bondservant and being born in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So when you are touched by the Lord, when you are about your Father's business, this is what happens to us. Because we want to please him. And the way we please him is, we empty ourselves. We become humble. And this is what encouraged, and this is what told in the Word of God. Because we want to become like Jesus. This is what Jesus modeled for us. To empty ourselves. To be humble. To consider others more worthy than us. Don't you think the lady at the well and the thief on the cross emptied themselves? Don't you think the love for others came suddenly, at least for the lady of the well, the lady at the well? Don't you think she humbled to go to them, who orchestrated them, who made her feel bad, her social stature, whatever it is? So when we empty ourselves, when we humble, there is blessing for others. Sometimes when we think highly of ourselves, we stop blessing from flowing from us to others, even though we are filled with God's love. So before I leave today, I just want to leave with one story. Some of these takes practice. I named it Salad Story. Last year in this retreat, I was sitting at a table near the salad bar, and I see Becky walking with a full bowl of salad. After that, I saw Jonathan walking with a full plate of salad. After that, I saw Lydia walking with a full plate of salad. After that, I saw Claudia walking with a full plate of salad. And I was like, how can these people eat salad for a meal? And I told myself, probably it is because Claudia eating salad, she fed them with salad all their life, so they started eating salad. And I always found salad to be not tasty, so even though I know it's good for you, I just can't eat it. So on July 8th this year, when I went to my annual physical, the doctor did the blood results and told me I'm a pre-diabetic. So I started eating healthy, and this retreat, all that I ate was salad. So I am deeply touched by trying to be healthy. So sometimes emptying ourselves, loving others seems hard. But when it becomes your lifestyle, it's just easy. Today, I looked at the fried chicken. I went to Pastor Bruce and said, Pastor Bruce, this is all unhealthy food. So I'm just trying to say that just taste and see that the Lord is good and let the goodness flow out from you.